Hi, you're listening to Audio from the Dwelling. We hope you enjoy the message, and for more information, please visit us online at www.thedwellingtx.org.
Good morning. Today's reading will be from 1 John chapter 3, verse 19 through chapter 4, verse 21. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our hearts before him. For whatever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God has made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given of us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because he is so also are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Dracia. We're asking this question, what's next? Because I believe it's a question that many of us are actually not asking. Remember this summer we went through a series called, that we were doing tough questions. And you asked your questions and I preached on them. And we were talking about the things you are asking. I don't think a lot of times we're asking the question, what's next? Because a lot of times what we're thinking is we're thinking, well, I finally arrived because I'm sitting here. Right at 21130 Legion Road, I'm in the building. You got me. All your little tricks and, you know, you people invited me and I came, or I saw the sign or whatever it might be. You got me here. I'm done. It's accomplished. Booyah. Well, not so much, right? Not so much. And that's why sometimes we actually get thinking, well, once I'm here, this is the big accomplishment. This is the biggie. Well, okay, don't get me wrong, it's great to have you here. But what's next? What's God saying? What's God doing? That's what, and what's all we've been doing is walking through 1 John. which is a letter in the Bible written by a guy named John. Okay? First. The first one. The first one. Nice. Well played. Our focus text for today is at chapter 4, verse 4. Little children, man, that if you were here last week, that brings you back. That brings you back a week. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. That's what we're going to camp out. I'd underline that, baby. Star it. Okay? Let's pray. And then we're going to just kind of dive in. If that's cool, let's just kind of go into this with a little bit of prayer and just inviting the Spirit of God to help us right now. Father, we come before you right now. And God, we just ask that we would hear from you. Please speak, Lord. Speak clearly into our hearts. May this time that we've kind of set apart for you to speak, you to do your thing, may that penetrate into our hearts, Lord, and may you shape us and change us right where we are. We say, come as you are, and we mean that, Lord. Come as we are, but we don't want to just stay the way we are. We want you to do in us what needs to be done. So please do that, Lord. Please do that kind of work this morning. Lord, help me right now to simply share what you'd have me share, not a word more and not a word less than that. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. So I personally love chainsaws, okay? I love chainsaws. And you can see that I got a chainsaw in here this morning. There's just something about a chainsaw that for me, there's just so many things that it means to me, okay? One, I grew up in Wisconsin, and so we actually heated our house with wood. My dad went through like 19 pickup loads of wood in a year, okay? Kind of this big old house, not insulated really well. We just went through a lot of wood. It was our primary source of heat. Every Saturday, it seemed like growing up, we were out in the woods making wood. And so I just love having a chainsaw. Like, there's just something about it that just gets me fired up. And there's even something more about just having one. Like, just having it. You know what I mean? Like, in your hands, you just feel good. And I was thinking, man, I'm just going to, you know what? Let's just see if we can get the thing going. Honestly, I don't know if we're going to be able to get it going. You know, classic, this isn't maybe going to work, but let's just quick see. Ooh, that actually, oh baby, that sounded pretty good here. Hashtag boom. Oh, yes! Oh, are you kidding me? Hold on. Oh, this is going to get embarrassing. Yes! Okay, I was going to be concerned if that wasn't going to keep running. Booyah! Man, I love chainsaws. And when I have a chainsaw, like when I got it in my hand, right? Now, it just depends. You know, some of you are probably thinking like, Texas Chainsaw Massacre or something just now. I feel like that maybe ran through your head. No, no, no. But when I got a chainsaw, when I'm connected to it, when I have it running, it changes me a little bit. It just does, okay? It maybe not for y'all, but for me, I just feel like ready to rock and roll. I get excited about just cutting something down. The bigger, the better. I get excited about making firewood. I feel like I can accomplish stuff. I feel like when I'm connected to it and it's actually running, that it just feels good. And as I was thinking about that text today from chapter 4, verse 4, I was thinking about that text. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Greater is the one who is in me, who's connected to me, than he who is in the world. When I'm connected to this greater one, when I'm connected to it, things happen. It changes my perspective. And I kind of want to say there's three things that jumped out at me as I was kind of pulling this scripture apart and looking at it. I was thinking, there's three things that when Christ is in me, when I'm connected to him, these three things kind of, as I look at John and how he's kind of spelling it out, and there's more here, quite honestly, but these three things kind of pop for me. The first is that when I'm connected to him, he is protecting me. He's protecting me. Now, he's protecting me from what? He's protecting me from what? Well, in here, verse 1, he talks about the evil spirits, and I don't have these on the screen. He talks about the prophets. If you have your Bible, follow along. These false prophets that are going to be coming out. There's going to be spirits that are going to be against you. There's going to be false prophets that are going to be against you. In verse 3, he alludes to this, the spirit of the Antichrist. Now, if you grew up in the church, you know, you might have some visions there of what that looks like and what that means. This has actually been touched on. We didn't bring it up when we were in it. But in chapter 2 of 1 John, he brings up this Antichrist, Antichrists thing. These are going to be against you. The lack of love is going to be against you. The desire to not love others, that kind of gets unpacked here in this section and other sections leading up to it. Fear is going to be against you. This idea of being afraid of potentially, and it kind of connects here to judgment. Is anybody afraid of judgment this morning? Yeah, because that's against you. It comes after us to make you feel like maybe I'm supposed to fear potentially judgment. Now remember, he's talking to the church here. He's writing this letter to the church. And he's saying, greater is he who's actually in you than he who is in the world. Evil spirits will be against you. False prophets, false teachings are going to be against you. Do you feel this morning like there are just things against you? In my notes, I drew a person, a stick figure person. And I just have arrows coming at this person. That's right here in my notes. That's what it looks like. There's just arrows. And my question is, what arrows are coming at you? What are those things in your life that are coming against you? Maybe it is something like fear this morning. Are you afraid of stuff? You're just always afraid. And Satan is potentially working that against you. Is it false teaching? Is it false teaching? Are there people here this morning who are actually thinking about things like, maybe they're feeling worthless. And they're hearing that. Listen, if you're hearing that this morning, if you're feeling that this morning or this past week or this past month or this past year, like worthless, I don't feel like I have any value. I don't feel like I have any significance in me. What is that? That's a lie. That's false. That's false teaching. And it could be teaching within the church. Like he's talking about here with some of that. Actually, in 3 John, he talks about a guy named Diotrephes who's actually bringing false teaching into the church. But it also might be our outside of the church. Just in falsities that we hear, potentially other world kind of narratives or worldviews or other thinkings or other thoughts that are out there. You know, this past week, I went to the, I was just kind of looking at some different things, and I came across this thought. And this was in Psychology Today, okay? Pretty, I think, standout kind of, I'm just trying to bring up the note here. This guy in here, a psychologist on here, says this. And this is regarding the worldview of kind of maybe like a humanist or a materialistic kind of worldview or kind of thinking. Here's what he says. And he's saying this to defend that idea or that worldview. He says, secular humanists understand that societal ethics and compassion are achieved solely through human action in a fully natural world. We can rely only on ourselves and our fellow human beings. All we have is each other. Huddled together on this lifeboat of a little planet in this vast, indifferent universe. What do you think about that? That's a teaching that's out there right now, like everywhere. And not maybe, you know, with some hotshot psychologist talking about it. Maybe it's just kind of subtler and just kind of, we just kind of start to believe some of this in a little bit less thoughtful way. But is that really it? I mean, is not there a kind of sense in which, what is the Antichrist that's talked about? You know, there's a first, 2 Thessalonians talks about a Antichrist. Here, actually, he's breaking down Antichrists in a sense where he's basically saying anything that's against Christ, anything that's against what our God has done for us is going to be an Antichrist. This is stuff we might even find in our own lives, folks. Okay? Now, there's maybe a distinction, and that we can maybe save that for another day to talk about who is the Antichrist and what is these Antichrists that John is talking about. But anything that's against Christ, and it's something, a teaching like that, that's Antichrist's stuff, right? Because, for example, what did we talk about at the beginning of the service this morning? We said, look inside yourself, look at some mistakes you've made, and confess those things outside so that you might receive absolution or a word from the Lord for forgiveness. Well, what does that mean? That means that we actually look inside of ourselves and we're going to find what? Brokenness. We're going to find pain. We're going to find sin. Okay, that's kind of the churchy word. What is this guy saying? He's saying turn inside of yourself. That's where you're going to find hope. Whether it be in the individual or in this thing called humanity, he's actually saying that's all we have to rely on is other people and ourselves. Folks, that's all over the place in our culture today. Individualism. There's so many different things that are against you this morning. Where are you receiving your worth, your value? I was talking to my mom this past week. I was talking to my mom, and it was really interesting. I got her permission to share this morning, but she's been struggling a little bit. My mom was a stay-at-home mom. My mom was a stay-at-home mom her whole life. And for the past 10 years, my mom has spent the past 10 years basically taking care of both of my grandmas and one of my grandpas. My other grandpa died when he was, you know, when I wasn't even born. And she spent 10 years taking care of them and walking with them and just all the way through. And this past April, my grandpa, the last of the three, had passed away. And just talking to her just this past week, she was just saying, Seth, I am really at a loss for like a connection to something that drives me. Because that had become for her so much of what she did. I mean, she poured all of her time and energy into my grandparents. Like, a lot of time and energy taking care of them as they were in old age and all those kinds of things. And now she's asking this question. She's like, where do I find my value? Where do I find my worth? That is who I had kind of become, and it was good stuff, and it was exactly what I needed to be doing. But now that it seems like that's gone, what motivates me? What gets me up in the morning? What gets me moving? Is anybody struggling with that this morning? My mom's struggling with that right now. Where's my identity? Where's my self-worth? And is it... Mom, and we're just talking through this. My mom knows this stuff, but sometimes we need to just remind each other, right? I know I need reminded of it. Mom, your value is not connected to what you do. Your value is connected to who's in you. And you are the God of the universe is inside of you, Mom. He loves you like crazy. Your value, your worth is simply based off of connection to him. You're his daughter. You're his daughter. And she's like, yeah, I know that. And she does. She really does know that. But man, we need to remind ourselves of that, don't we? So often. Maybe it's not in trying to get something else going so that I can be connected to that. Maybe it's actually just sitting and resting and recognizing my value and worth is connected to him who is greater than he who is in the world. What's against you this morning? Maybe spiritual attack? I think some of you are being attacked to pull away from community. You continue to isolate yourself, and Satan continues to move you towards isolation. And he's against you, always trying to move you away from other people who could speak truth into your life, even where that truth might hurt or be painful to hear. You're always isolating yourself. Lies. Man, Satan is the father of lies. He's against you. He's against Christ. And anything that spills out of that, whether it be teachings, whether it be the way we live, whatever it might be, anything that would come at us that's against Christ, it could be subtle, it could be blatant. Anything that's against Christ. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And all the stuff that comes with he who is in the world, all the falsities, all the lies, all the distractions, all the pleasures of the world that would get your focus off of him. He who is in you, being connected, protection. See what I'm saying? He who is in you is being connected to Christ. Our second thing is this. He is loving, I think about making a shirt up of this. He is loving hell out of you. He's loving hell out of you. No, that's maybe pushing it for some of you a little bit, but he's loving hell out of you. What do I mean by that? Well, as I look at chapter 4, verse 17 through 19, this is what I hear. Listen to what he says. By this is love perfected with us, so that we have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. This is what the cross is all about. The cross of Jesus, the life of death, the life of Jesus is shooting straight after, it's going right after those things in our life that would condemn us, that would bring us down, that would open up our brokenness even more. Jesus comes to bring you healing. He comes to bring you forgiveness. He comes to bring you hope. He meets these things head on. He's driving out fear. Anybody still afraid of, you know, you ever see the sign, if you were to die today, and then there's like one side with clouds and the other side with like fire and stuff. You know what I mean? You've seen that billboard. But, you know, like you drive by it and you're like, oh gosh, I don't know. That's a good question. You know, you just hit, you know, go a little faster. I don't know. Let me think about that. But, you know, even those of you who are believers and you trust Jesus, you're like, golly. I don't know. Maybe I'm a little nervous about that now. Now you just made me nervous, billboard people. See? And all of a sudden, even these fears creep in. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And love, the love of God, his incredible love towards you, focused on you. The arrow that's coming at you from God to you is this incredible gift of love and compassion and mercy. And I think of the cross. I think of God throwing the cross at all of the stuff in your life that's just like fear and driving that out, judgment, driving that out, condemnation, driving that out. The things in us that there's a deep healing that's needed. And so he sends Jesus, who dies for you. He died for you. He paid the price for your sin. And he didn't stay dead, right? He rose from the dead. He ascends into heaven. And he promises to one day return. And he will. And every knee will bow before him, whether we want to or not. Whether we've done it before he's come or not, We will bow before him as the king of the universe, and he will make all things new. And this begins to drive out fear. It drives out hell. And the gates, Jesus says, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. What is this saying? What does that mean? That means he shoots right for it. He goes right after the evil and the bad stuff. He doesn't just kind of like stay back and play like puppeteer of different things. No, he comes. This is the Christmas story that's so amazing. He immerses himself into our lives, into the brokenness. He actually comes right into the darkness. Begins to drive these things out. And we begin to receive this from him, don't we? As we open up his word, your Bibles, as we open up his word and we hear from him speaking to us, he begins to, as we immerse ourselves in him and he in us, abiding in him, abiding in us, as we begin to do that, begins to drive fear out. As we receive communion, as we receive his body and blood, we receive him. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. And it drives out fear. It drives out judgment. It drives out condemnation. As we involve ourselves with other believers, and as we engage with the Spirit of God that's in them, and as they engage with the Spirit of God that's in me, and as we're in fellowship with each other, the work of God is being done there as it's like inside of you, and it begins to do what it does and begins to work in the people's lives around us too. That's why I actually drew a little girl up here with a dress because I needed to put a chainsaw inside. That's what I got here. I got a little chainsaw inside the lady because it begins to do a work in us. The Spirit of God starts to work. What is Hebrews 4, right? The Word of God is living and active. And what? Sharper than a double-edged sword, piercing to the soul, the spirit, the marrow, the joints. It cuts us up. It does the work in us that needs to be done. This is why I'm so thankful for you to be here, just to hear his word. To allow the chainsaw of the Holy Spirit, that was weird, but you know what I'm saying? To let the Holy Spirit get inside us and to just work on us and tweak on us and do its thing. And it's not always fun. It's not always fun. Because sometimes he's got to hack off some stuff that needs hacked off. He's got to get rid of some stuff, some idols that maybe are in your life. He's got to get rid of it. And it's painful. Oh, man, when you've turned materialist kind of stuff, materialism, which so many of us in the West struggle with, when you've turned all the stuff that you have into an idol and that needs cut out of your life, I'm telling you, that's not easy. That's not a fun one to get rid of. We like that little God, right? Let me hold on to that one. The Holy Spirit begins to drive hell itself out of you, cutting and but it's all for you. It's to bring you healing. It's to bring you help. I know you're thinking Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Get that one out of your head. Get the one where the Holy Spirit is working. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. When we're connected to Christ, he is loving hell out of you. It's not always pretty. It's not always fun. It's just the work that needs done. And my last thing is this. He is your strength for next steps. What's next? He is your strength for next steps. Look at chapter 4, verse 11. If you're there, look at this. Beloved, if God so loved us, if his love is being directed at us, and it is, so also we also ought to love one another. What's the next step for you as you experience his love, as you experience his and your connection to him and it changes you and works in you? What does that look like? Is it drives us to then begin to love other people? Look at verse 15. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. A confession of faith. I mean, all over in here, this whole chapter, Dresha just perfectly unpacked that. All over in here, it's that Christ has come in the flesh. Do you believe that? Have you confessed that? Do you believe? When you do, that's the work of the Holy Spirit in you. To lead you to a place of confession. A confession of who this guy really is. Jesus even asks his disciples, okay, who do all the people say that I am? Who do you say that I am? That's a question that gets posed to us today. Who do you say that I am? And the Spirit of God inside of us drives out of us next steps to what that might be. Today, I just want to ask you, what's the next step for you? What's the Spirit of God saying to you? What's he speaking to you about? See, what concerns me so often, I've preached on this so often, is when I ask that question, because I ask that a lot, what is God saying to you? So often we're like, I don't know. Oh, that gets me so concerned. Because Jesus said, my sheep will know my voice. They will know my voice. When you're not spending time in his word, when you're not in fellowship with other believers, when you're avoiding kind of hearing God's word, we begin to not hear his voice. What is he saying to you today? Maybe you got to think about that a little bit. That's okay. But is today, is he leading you, the Spirit of God leading you to a place where you would confess your sins? Maybe 45 minutes ago, you're like, Is the Spirit of God at work in you in such a way that, I need to confess that sin. And I'm hungry for absolution. I'm hungry to receive his forgiveness. Is today something being done inside of you that you would move to a place where you would confess an addiction? I just got to confess. I'm not saying out loud in front of everybody or something right now. No. I'm just saying between you and God, like, Lord, I'm struggling with this addiction and I need to confess it before you. And I recognize it's getting out of hand. Have you turned something into the thing that you receive value in and worth in? And Jesus is saying, that needs to be dropped. Lana Kunze, my mom, you can't find your worth and your value in just what you're doing. Because that will go away. I don't go away, Jesus says. I'm always there. Find your worth and your value in me. And let those other things kind of bubble out over the top. Is that what the Spirit of the God of our God is telling you today? Is he moving you to a place of confession? To confess that he is God, that he is Lord? Maybe that he's king. You know, some of you Christians are like, yeah, he's my savior. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to the fireside. I want to go to the cloudy looking one. Well, what about him being king of your life? Is that something that's, maybe you have a situation in your life right now where you're like, well, Lord, I want to go to the cloudy one, but I really don't want to do this in my life and have that be changed. And God's like, wait a second, you're not the king. I'm the king. Maybe that's the next step for you today, is taking the throne, the little crown thing off of your head and being like, okay, you're the king. Is that the next step for you? Well, we can get super practical here. I was just kind of thinking about some different things. Maybe it's repent. Maybe it's you need a vacation. Maybe you're struggling with, you know, somebody recently just confessed workaholism. Is that you? You're working too much? You have no time for your family? You like need to stop? That's what you need to do? You just like see your kids and see your wife or you see your, I don't know. Is that what you need to do? Is that what God might be leading you to? See, we always are thinking like, oh, God wants me to, you know, all these huge things. Well, what about take a nap? Yeah, see, everybody likes Jesus then. Everybody, I like this Jesus guy. Yeah. What's Jesus saying to you today? The Jesus who's in you, who's working in your life today, the Spirit of the living God, what's he saying to you? He gives us the strength. As we're connected to him, as we remain connected to him, he gives us the strength to take next steps. And so we can rely on him to take that step this next week, a real step. What's God maybe saying to you? And it's going to be different. It's going to be different. It's going to be a little different. It's going to be a little different. It's going to be a little different. That's okay. That's what it's all about, baby. Because he's alive. He's well. I don't think I've had too many object lessons that I've gotten more excited about. Because when I think of this baby, because again, maybe for you it doesn't make sense. Maybe for you it's like a cup of coffee changes you or something. Like when you're holding your coffee, you're just like, ah, change it. When I'm holding this baby, I feel like a new man. I just feel like a new person. Bring it on, baby. Get me on it. When the Spirit of the living God is inside of us, when the Spirit of the living God is inside of us, he works in us to protect us from attacks, from antichrists, anything that's against Christ. He's working to protect us, but he's also working hell out of us. He's working in you, and you're like, oh, but there's still some stuff deep down. Yeah, let him work. Let him chop. Let him get it out. And on top of that, he continues to give us the strength for next steps. May that bless you this week. May that change you. May it shape you. 1 John chapter 4, and we're going to finish up next week. Let me pray for you now, if that's cool. Lord Jesus, I just give you thanks and praise for this time to just be in 1 John, to hear from you. Lord, there are so many things that are out there that are against us, that we're struggling with, that we're dealing with this morning. As many people that are in this room, there's that many different situations. I mean, I get that. I know that. But I just thank you, God, that you promise to be so close to us that you would be inside of us, that you would be at work in our deepest places. And that's a little scary. That's a little scary maybe for some of us because we're like, I don't know if I really want that. God, I just pray this morning that you would open up our hearts to, I don't know, to recognizing how frail we are, to recognizing how much, man, we are in need, that we really are, you know, I think of you saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, that we really are poor. That we recognize we're poor in spirit. May we recognize that this morning, God. God, I just pray that you would, that your spirit would just indwell in us. God, I love that. I just love that idea of you dwelling inside of us. Continue to work the junk out of us that's in us, Lord. Cut off that stuff, the weeds and the branches, the vines that tangle us up and cut that out, Lord, even where it hurts. I know, Lord, there's things inside of me that I don't even know about that need rooted up or cut out. God, it's one of the hardest prayers I think to pray to you is actually to say, cut it out of me even if it hurts me. That's not an easy prayer, God, but give us the strength to pray that because ultimately we know you have what's best for us. Ultimately, we know you know what's best, better for us than even we know what's best for us. So keep working that stuff out of us. God, protect some people in this room right now who are under attack in different ways. Just, God, please protect them. Guard their hearts, guard their minds from where Satan is attacking, where he's lying, where he's deceiving, where he's being anti. Please work against that, Jesus. And then, God, some of those things in our life, just give us the strength. I pray for strength today, for some life change in some people who you're working in their hearts. You're even calling into mind right now some things where they're like, yeah, I should probably do that, or I should maybe stop doing that, or I could maybe lean into loving this person over here. Please give strength for follow through there, Lord. Give strength. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh upon us. Work mightily in us now, today, tomorrow, this next week. We pray boldly in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me leave you with a blessing this morning. May our God bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you, and may he be in you, and may you know and go forth from here today knowing that he in you is greater than he who is in the world. The Lord bless you guys. Have a great week. You're awesome. Booyah.